get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PBOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing, leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh yeah!
Welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds. This is a podcast about the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. I'm Bradley Butin, and this is
Brian S. Dennis, where the S stands for the blue pill.
What could that mean? I don't know, but we're going to find out. Brian and I, we will be your guides on this quest to level up your awesomeness. We will nerd out. We will get sidetracked. And we will have a great time doing it. This is how the show is going to go. First, we will cover our topic of the week. We will discuss, theorize, and give our 2 cents worth along with a penny for our thoughts. Then, we'll each have our own topic to cover with each other. These will be referred to as our tats. Think about this. But first, with everything going back retro, Brian, do you think that Jar Jar Binks will make a return to Star Wars?
Absolutely. For no other reason than this, George Lucas has famously said that his favorite character in all of Star Wars is one Jar Jar Binks. Now, that obviously was done to troll some fans who were just really brutal. But I love George, the fact that he's going to, like, I know him, George. I love that Mr. Luke. By the way, George, come on the show. I love that the fact that he stood behind his character. I think we'll either, if we don't get an actual Jar Jar, I do think we will get the Jar Jar species. And maybe we get a little, maybe they pull back some of those somewhat insensitive tropes that Jar went into. So maybe they pull that back. But I can see us saying, and I don't even know what species Jar Jar is a part of, but I can see Jar Jar-esque individuals being brought into this.
Awesome. Here, we got a break. Come here.
I was telling you to be quiet.
Oh, I was supposed to be quiet.
Yeah, I didn't want Brian Dennis to know I was going to surprise him.
Well, she wanted to surprise you, Brian.
Well, you're good. You're good.
What's going on, girl?
I bought a kitten cameo, too.
We have a kitten cameo, which is Xana.
There always has to be a kitten cameo. And why aren't you recording up her name now?
Her name is Xana.
No, her name is Honey.
Her name is not Honey, it is Anna.
It's Honey.
All right, kiddo. All right, we can have that discussion later. Why don't you anything you want to say on the podcast today?
Any questions? You normally got a question for me.
Who's cuter, Honey or Mocha?
Well, I think Xana is the cutest. Mocha may win just because Honey is just a silly name for a cat.
I agree. I mean, it's sticky, gets in everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, kiddo. Do you want to ask any questions?
That was one of my questions.
Which
one do you like better, Marvel or Star Wars?
Marvel or Star Wars? I would say Star Wars. I don't matter.
As a parent myself, trust me, I get it when you don't matter.
I roasted him yesterday night.
All right. So I will say that overall, I like Marvel a little bit better than Star Wars. However, I will say the longer I know your dad, I am liking Star Wars more and more and more. And between The Book of Boba Fett, The Mandalorian, there's so much great stuff that's truthfully, again, I just remember going back and seeing episode one and how disappointed I was after episode one because I wanted it to be so great. And it wasn't bad. Right. It just wasn't as great as I wanted. We're seeing so much great work. And again, for all the love we're going to give James Gunn, what he's doing with Peacemaker, you got to give just as much love to Jon Favreau and what he's doing with Star Wars Rehab, especially through the book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy just totally gets it.
Yep. When you hand the keys over to the right person, you know it.
Right.
I have one more question.
One more question.
Before that, do you know how I roasted this boy yesterday night?
Oh, well, I think you roasted your... How did you roast your dad? How about that one?
Yeah.
How did you roast your father?
How did you roast me?
So, Daddy turned on a song, and it said... one of the words is, sometimes you're not the sharpest tool in the shed. And so it said, sometimes you're not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Yeah, she called me... dumb.
I think that because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed.
All right, kiddo.
Okay, you missed the lyric. You missed the lyric. It happens. It happens.
Yeah. We were listening to All Star, and I was singing along, and she's like, "Oh, you're not the sharpest tool in the shed." And I'm like, "Okay."
Sometimes you're not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Well, if you two are ever looking for something short to watch as music lovers, you can YouTube the Jimmy Fallon episodes where he does his musical stuff, where he does like mismatched music or does also karaoke stuff. But I will take there's actually a great episode where you have to perform a song, so the lyrics of a song, but in a style different than how it was originally recorded. There's an episode where you have Chance the Rapper, who has to do Nelly's Hot Here, but as a country song.
It was so good.
Oh, you've seen it. It is absolutely.
That's my jam. That's my jam.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen the T.I. one where, what song does T.I. do?
I haven't seen that one.
There's one, I'm not T.I., T-Pain, but Google T-Pain in the same show. T-Pain does one that is also just phenomenon, and I'm so sorry I can't remember. I'll even text you it.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry I can't remember the name of it, but it is just absolutely fantastic. So yeah.
I have one good more question.
Okay, go ahead, honey.
Who is more better, Supergirl or Batgirl?
I will ask. Okay, so I gotta ask you what more better means. You mean stronger, more resourceful? Because that's gonna help me. That's gonna change my answer.
Which one depending do you on like it. More?
Which one do I like one more? Supergirl or Batgirl?
Girl, yes.
Catwoman.
Who's that?
What's Catwoman? You know who Catwoman is.
No, between Batgirl and Supergirl.
Catwoman.
Who is Catwoman?
Catwoman is Batman's wife. We'll just leave it like that.
Yeah, leave it at that.
Okay, is that?
And if I had to pick one, I will say Helen Slater as Supergirl in the mid-80s was a wonderful thing.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And
Supergirl, yeah!
Thank you, baby girl. All right, kiddo.
I'm going to see if you would choose Batgirl. Because Batgirl is Anna's, Supergirl is mine.
Okay. Well, I love me some Barbara Gordon, but I actually like Barbara Gordon better as Oracle than I do as Batgirl.
I agree.
There's been other Batgirls, but you know, as always, my answer will stay the same. Catwoman.
All right, kiddo. I'll see you in a little while. Okay. All right, honey. I'll see you in a little while.
Goodbye.
Love you. Love you. All right.
Mwah.
Okay.
Mwah.
All right.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye,
Brian
sweetie.
Dennis.
All right.
Bye, Leia.
Okay.
Bye, Zanna.
So we were getting ready to go over the our topic of the week.
We were. And ladies and gentlemen, I cannot tell you how much I love Leia's cameos. They definitely keep us on our toes and show what happens when you do a podcast that is recorded live. All right. So yes. So we're not podcast. I think we're at cameo number 3 between a couple different recordings. Okay.
Saying goodbye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Yeah, so to cover this week's topic, so we've talked about, now that we're in the new year, and this is our third or fourth recording of 2022. I hope everyone is having a wonderful year. And for those of you that are in the Midwest, we've had some really frigid temperatures, but we're going to have a little bit of a warmer for a couple of days, so that's exciting. All right, so Brad and I were talking about we're trying to have a theme, and we're kind of getting this late in the month, but we really want to have kind of a theme of things that we really like. And one of the things we thought about was which actors have really strong resumes within our Nerdverse, and talking a little bit about them. So we figured we started off with the one, the only, Mr. Keanu Reeves. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of our favorite things that he's done and do kind of a little bit of countdown. As always, we like to see if our lists are anywhere close. We don't discuss them beforehand, and just talk about all things Keanu, or as I like to say, whoa.
Whoa.
Yes, I'm sure one Joseph Lawrence is really upset that Keanu was more famous for the woe than he is.
So, yeah. Right? I agree with that. All right. So with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into our favorite Keanu movies, and we could talk a little bit about them. And is it my turn to go first, or are you going?
I think it might be mine this week. It might be mine if you're cool with me going first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just real quick. So here's what I did. So I'm going to talk about my five favorite Keanu. I like fives, but I did also want to cover this really quickly, just my honorable mentions. And here's how I basically made my list. Keanu has been in a few very popular, usually pretty good franchises. So what I wanted to do was, instead of, because I restricted myself to, if I'm going to mention a movie that's in a franchise, only one film. So of my top five, so if I was to take like the Bill and Ted franchise, I would go, which of those is my favorite? So with that being said, here's my honorable mention, though, of some movies that I really just absolutely love Keanu in. So starting off, we've got The Replacements. Playing Shane Falco. Love me a good football movie. And Keanu, and by the way, Keanu looks the part of a, so if you know him from his more recent work, he's got the beard and kind of long, kind of straggly hair. Totally took me out of the Matrix, the third, mm-hmm. The fourth Matrix movie. But when he played Shane Falco doing a professional football lockout, he totally looked like that dude that you'd see under center. So perfectly loved him in that. Hardball, kind of that reclamation reform story, kind of an updated Bad News Bears. Went inside it with my kid. He absolutely loved it. You can't talk about one Keanu without talking about Bill and Ted. But also, if we're looking really early in Keanu's filmography, his career, I loved him in The Parenthood. So playing Martha Plimpton's boyfriend, race car driver, and the mentor for one at that who became Joaquin Phoenix. But here is a quiz for you really quickly.
Ooh.
So in the movie Parenthood, and I'm assuming you may have seen it. So it's a Steve Martin movie. Yes. So in that movie, we have Joaquin Phillips in the film, but when they give the credits, he is not credited as Joaquin Phoenix, because his real first name is not Joaquin. He's credited by his real first name. Do you know? No Googling allowed. Do you know his real first name?
You know what? I do not.
It was Leaf.
Leaf, really?
Leaf Phoenix. So his brother River, RIP.
Yep.
And Leaf.
Makes sense.
Joaquin is his middle name, which I think I read a story he had it legally changed to his first name. But he started going, as he got older, trying to come back, Gladiator, things of that nature. He figured Joaquin sounded a little more adult than Leaf.
Than Leaf, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know,
not as cool as River. Right. Not as cool as River.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. So with that being said, here we go. I want to kind of go through my top five again. Only one movie for if it's from a franchise. So first off, number five, got to start off with this movie because I absolutely loved it. Had an incredible cast, including the one, the only Mr. Hoo-ah himself, Mr. Al Pacino, The Devil's Advocate. A fantastic fantastic movie. Keanu Reeves plays a criminal defense attorney who's recruited from, I want to say, the state of Louisiana to go to New York. One of the very early Charlize Theron movies. Jack Nicholson is the owner and managing partner of this New York law firm. It brings in, as you can imagine with that name, some elements of the supernatural and religion, plays with time a little bit, has some really just great points to it. Just a great movie. And I don't know how well it did in the box office. I know that I absolutely loved it. So Devil's Advocate, my number five pick. Number four, we got to go DC. Constantine. So a little different than the Constantine referenced in the book, because A, he's not blonde. Definitely took some liberties with it, but a fantastic movie as well. A great that ending sequel where he summons the Archangel Gabriel with the task of Rachel Weisz. She survived the mummies and showed back up. That was also great. Shia LaBeouf. And it ended the way any film with Shia LaBeouf should end, with him flat on his back. All right. But then we have, again, great. And I really, really was hoping we get some sequels out of that. We did not.
Yeah.
But absolutely loved it. In fact, there's an article that Keanu really wanted to do sequels to Constantine. The studio was not interested, so he even offered to do it at a much cheaper rate. Just love the character. I think there was so much stuff that can be done. And again, the great thing is with the partnership between HBO with its hubs with DC, you can watch Constantine anytime. I actually like that Constantine better than the TV series Constantine, and the TV series Constantine was actually a lot truer to the comic character than this was. Keanu's had a great role, and I would love if somehow we could get a John Constantine Lucifer something. That maybe we get a movie about it at some point. All right. So my number three is, we have to go there eventually, The Matrix. Do you want the blue pill? Do you want the red pill? What do you want? So The Matrix I was going back and forth on my top three, really tough for me. Gotta love The Matrix, though. It was such a mind-bending. We did this when we pre-binged and did a review of the most recent Matrix film. Some of those things that are in The Matrix, just because it's been almost 20 years, some of the things those of us that saw things in the theater when the movie first came out, it was such mind-blowing. The bullet speed, the ad campaign before it. And again, for those of you that are younger than your 40s, you will probably not have as vivid of memories of this, but they got you to see The Matrix by only four words. What is The Matrix?
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that original ad campaign, you would see very brief snippets of the film. This was one of those movies that you went to, and the trailer had given you almost no actual snippets from the actual film. It would show you Keanu Reeves being standing there going, whoa, as Keanu would do. They had one that showed Morpheus jumping, the famous jump. Mm-hmm. But that would be like 2-3 seconds of that, and then just simply, what is The Matrix? And of course, the green screen of the code. So that was so awesome that everybody wanted to see, what was it? And again, the first time you see bullet speed, when you see how the gun foo, which feeds into another movie of his here in a moment, it was just done. The Wachowskis have always done such great work. And this was just really kind of opened my eyes to it. Still one of my absolute favorite movies. Morpheus, Trinity, Agent Smith, after Darth Vader, Agent Smith is probably my favorite villain ever in a movie.
Yeah.
So all those great things. All right. So that's my number three. Number two, we're going to go from being the one to being the cop. So it's gotta be Speed. Gotta be Speed. And yes, I know how ridiculous. Take this for a moment, Brad. Let me ask you this: what's more ridiculous, or I was just saying ridiculous? That's a bad word for this. Which of these is more implausible in your mind? The Matrix and all the pieces that come with the Matrix, or the freeway jump with a bus?
Obviously the freeway jump with the bus.
Yes, and the fact that the tires didn't all explode and the bus didn't break in half and all that fun stuff. Yes. So anyone who's ever dealt with a car going on a real hard speed bump, jumping a freeway, a 50-foot gap in a bus. But again, this was one of the first movies with Sandra Bullock. Again, this was Keanu in his and doing all of his Keanu best. Yeah. And of course, the one, the only, R.I.P. Mr. Dennis Hopper. So yes. Fantastic. And I still, every now and then, I still, if I see I'm going above 50 miles an hour, I go, you know. So yeah, yeah. I wonder what's more iconic speed, the 50 in Speed or the 88 miles per hour in Back to the Future. I wonder which of those is more.
I'm
iconic.
Guessing the 88 miles in Back to the Future.
Yeah, you can't beat Christopher going 88 miles per hour.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, so here's a question too. With again, just going off of my typical tangent, you said we get distracted.
Yeah.
So when Einstein time traveled, did he really travel 1 minute into the future, or because he's a dog, did he travel 7 minutes into the future?
Ooh, that is a great question. That's that ranks right up there with, if you were born in the TARDIS, when is your birthday?
Nice. Yes. Huh. So again, so those of you that listen to the show, give us your feedback of what do you think. Was Einstein 7 minutes into the future or 1 minute or 7 minutes? And again, if you were born in a TARDIS, when actually is your birthday? All right.
Yes.
And then lastly, number one, John Wick, Chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
Not the first one. Love the first one. Great movie. Like I said, by my own rules, since it's part of a franchise, I was only going to give myself one film from the franchise. As awesome as John Wick is, I like this one for no other reason than this. So much of John Wick was his wife had just died. I believe she died from cancer. Mm-hmm. They steal his car. They kill his dog. But a lot of this was just this. Basically, this spoiled brat is doing things because he didn't know who he was messing with. Then in John Wick Chapter 2, this is when we get the full-on Baba Yaga, right? Yeah. We start talking about the high table. You bring in Common. You bring in Lawrence Fishburne. You really expand that universe. All these sorts of things. The fact that the hotels, there's a hotel in different countries. All those sorts of things. Which it was led into Parabellum, and we'll get the fourth chapter here, supposedly sometime this calendar year. Mm-hmm. But it's just chapter 2, I thought, was when we really realized, because at first in chapter 1 he's fighting organized crime, but not really of that level, right? In chapter 2 is where we got to see him really fighting individuals that were part of this entire underworld, where he still shows that even there he's still the baddest of the badasses. So my number one Keanu Reeves flick for me is John Wick, but John Wick chapter 2.
Awesome. So like you, I have several honorable mentions, and I will say between our honorable mentions and our top 5, we do have several that cross, probably not on the same spot.
Okay.
So my honorable mentions, number 10 is Johnny Mnemonic.
Almost made it. Nice.
Cyberpunk. Yeah, some Dolph Lundgren in there. It is such an underrated movie. I actually
Iced Tea in there.
Yes, Iced Tea. Yeah. I watched this again. Like, I think I saw it on something. Like maybe a year or so ago, and for the most part, it was holding up. So
yeah,
I love me some Johnny Mnemonic.
Gotcha, yeah. And the fact that it made us all know how to say mnemonic.
Yes. And spell it.
Can't spell it. We can say it. Yeah.
Right. And then so after that, The Devil's Advocate. You got to. When you think of Keanu Reeves or certain movies that just pop in your head. And The Devil's Advocate is one of them. He works perfectly with Al Pacino.
Yes.
Now, Keanu Reeves is one of those people that you can just put in there no matter who it's with, and sure. He can work with. you can go from Al Pacino to people like Gene Hackman in The Replacements.
Yes.
There's something so great about The Replacements, and it wasn't a huge box office draw, but you know what? Right. I watched that movie probably 50 times.
Oh, easily.
It's a good movie you can turn. As a matter of fact, the only reason I even like the Rolling Stones is because there's a Rolling Stones song on that movie. And I'm like, who sings that? And then I got into the Rolling Stones. So, you know, you also go from Gene Hackman to working with a Patrick Swayze, Point Break, Johnny Utah.
Yep.
And I mean, what else can you say? Point Break is one of the, it's just such a great movie.
Well, excuse me. Well, if I can pause it for a quick second, one of the things that I love so much about Keanu, when I was looking at Keanu Reeves' history, so many of his characters have these cool ass names, though.
Right? Like you said,
Johnny Utah, Shane Falco, The One, John. By the way, he's got several named John. So he's. You got me that time. I will give you that. If you're trying to startle me, you got me. So there's Johnny and Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah.
There is Johnny Utah. There is
John Constantine.
John Constantine. There's actually isn't Mr. Anderson's first name John as well?
I think
they don't
right.
give him a first. They don't give him a first name, I think, until this last one.
Yeah.
I think it might be John.
Yeah.
And then, of course, John Wick. So he plays a lot of characters.
There's also one more.
Okay.
John Harker in Dracula. Is it?
Yes, it is Harker. It is Harker.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So Adelaide, you jumped in here. You want to say something else? Or are you just brushing your hair?
Who do you like better, Yoda or?
Don't say Baby Yoda. His name's Grogu.
I know.
His name is Baby Yoda.
That's not Baby as big Yoda, as he Baby isn't Yoda. Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
Okay, kiddo.
Baby Yoda or Chewbacca?
Baby Yoda or Chewbacca?
Okay, I went Baby Yoda. So when you first asked, you said Yoda. Do you want to compare Yoda or the child versus Chewbacca?
Baby Yoda.
That would be the child, Grogu.
Okay. Or the foundling. How about, okay.
Yeah,
Grogu,
the foundling.
The child, yes. Okay. So the baby, not Yoda. How about that? Okay. Versus Chewbacca. As much as I love Chewie, Brad has definitely ties into some of our previous podcasts. Black Chrysanthemum has really trumped the Wookiee card with me. So unfortunately, it has dropped Chewie a couple spots, even though my cat is named after Chewbacca. So now I got to go Grogu. I got to go to child.
Fair enough.
Go to child.
All right, kiddo.
I'll be right back. I got to go do something
else. Oh, boy.
She'll be right back.
Yes, she will. All right. So
let's keep it going.
My last honorable mention is one straight out of DC Comics, Constantine.
Yes, sir.
Everybody knows I like my DC Comics. Now, my top five. My number five is, do you want the red pill or the blue pill? The Matrix. Not my favorite Keanu Reeves movie. It's up there, obviously, five. But I just, you know, when I was compiling my list, I was like, wow, I knew what my number one was going to be right away. Oh, boy.
No!
Okay.
She's, I had this, it was like three.
You said you had that since you were two.
Two.
Yep. And it sings Star Wars. All right, but hey,
I heard it. There it goes.
Yep. So we don't own the copyright song to Star Wars.
Yes, let's be very clear.
Yeah.
We do not own
that. Is it a billboard?
We're not trying to say this is ours. This is nothing. We have no product. Right. Yes, absolutely. It is a child's toy that is playing the song. Yes.
So Lucasfilms, don't sue us.
Yes, absolutely. It is all yours.
Yep, that is all. That's all yours.
Yeah.
We just love it.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So after The Matrix, my number four is, man, you gotta go fast, but not too fast. Gotta stay over 50 55.
Yep.
I had something there. Who said it? You can't drive 55. Who's the Van Hagar? Sammy Hagar.
Oh, yeah, and yeah.
It sounded a lot better in my brain when I was going to say that, but it just didn't work out. It just didn't work out. You know, that's fine. That's fine. After that, because we already talked a little bit about speed. My number three.
Oh, we did not talk about speed too. Cruise control.
And that's probably a good thing. Speed.
Because it is speed too, cruise control. So we've talked before, like you make a trilogy, sometimes it's better to stop at two. If you make a sequel, sometimes it's better to stop at one.
Right. If you can't get, Sandra Bullock was in it.
She was.
Yeah.
Before Jason Patrick.
Regretfully.
They basically tried to find someone with looks sort of like Keanu, but none of his charisma. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Right. And nothing against Jason Patrick. What was that movie that he did about being like molested in the boys' home with Kevin Bacon? And
yeah, I know the movie. I can't think of the name you're talking about, but yeah.
Yeah, man, that movie is one of, like, it's such a great, great movie.
Yeah,
it's
the guy's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
And if maybe we started with, even though, but number one, you lose
Lost
Keanu.
Lost Boys was in there too, yeah. Lost
Boys. Yeah, yeah. You try to make me a killer, you are a killer. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, by the way, you know, when we do Halloween, we'll have to talk about it. Because, again, I have friends that absolutely love Twilight. And I go, how are you a grown-up loving Twilight? But secondly, every time someone brings anything positive about Twilight, I go, you must have never seen The Lost Boys. If you think Twilight makes young, cool, sexy vampires and kind of corner that, I'm like, you never heard of Lost Boys, okay? Because I tell you this, Kiefer Sutherland turned me on in that movie. I was like, Kiefer, let's do it. Okay, hasn't aged well, but for a minute, Kiefer Sutherland forced it looks more and more like Donald Sutherland. All right.
Yep.
But yeah, and again, back to our point before I let you finish up your list, you lose Keanu, and then you put it as, it was almost popcorn fun. We talked about being able to jump the 50-foot gap with the bus and speed.
Yeah.
Making it a boat, there was just nothing you could do that was, I waited for it to come out on VHS. Yeah, that's how old I am. I waited for it to come out on VHS. And I couldn't get through it the first time. Like, I had to come back and like, okay, let's watch it and make myself finish it.
Right.
So, yes. Yes.
It's one of those things you have to drink in order to watch it. I mean, it's like.
Because we wanted them to work out for speed. So for them to do the switch, they had to break them up. So that was also the thing. Like, nobody wanted that. We wanted it to end with the two of them. Great way to end it. We talk about high pressure situations. We go, we just have to base it on sex. That was a great kind of cool moment to go in. And that's it. It was good. Let's stop there. We don't need to make more money because we're going to ruin the franchise. And again, as nerds who are not paid to make any of these decisions, we get to say that. So as a studio, they're in another boat. So, all right.
You know, maybe we can prevenge a speed and we can do a, we can prevenge speed. Maybe next month we should do that.
Speed 3 on Rascals.
Right. And bring back.
If you go below 2 miles an hour, this thing will explode. Yes.
Yes. Awesome. My number three is one where he gets to, with Keanu gets to give his best English accent. And he goes to this place called Transylvania. Yes. Sir. Bram Stoker's Dracula, Wynonna Ryder, Gary Oldman,
yes,
man. I mean, like, Gary Oldman's amazing, and I think Dracula's probably his best work.
Better than Commissioner Gordon, and better than Sirius Black.
Dracula, yes. Yes, I'll say it right here. Yes, absolutely.
You're saying it. Fight me. I said what I said. I like that.
Right. I will stand on that mountain.
Yes.
With all this great stuff. I mean,
I'm
going to
say he's got a pretty good catalog. To me, he'll always be my favorite Gordon, but I got you. I can totally see his role in Dracula. Absolutely. Absolutely. Was a fantastic Dracula. Probably my favorite Dracula, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite Dracula.
Yep. Enough said about that. And then my number two, Brian, when we landed in the same franchise, different movies, John Wick Chapter 1, man, it killed the dog. he goes ape and he gets his revenge for his puppy. Goes a lot deeper than just being a dog, but you know, there's something, you know, sometimes you just need a good shoot 'em up.
And you do.
That one gives it to you.
You do. It is truthfully just one of those things that, and you know what? It was one of those. I mean, it wasn't groundbreaking as far as that. We've seen lots of movies where you have the criminal, the gunslinger, the mobster, the whatever, and they're trying to get out of the life, right? And the life is, I mean, Godfather, you know, Godfather, perfect example, Godfather Part 3, you know, everything I'm out, they drive me back in, right? One of the few good things about that movie. Again, when you're making a trilogy, stop it too. That being said, this was so unique in that it really focused on he was out, he was happy, he was good. And this wasn't some, and I think that's why I think so many of us, and I get it, it's my second favorite of that franchise. I told you why, you know, I went with when I said what I said. But one of the things that made that movie so, well, I think all of us could get into, is very similar to number one with The Matrix. The gung fu, I mean, in U.S. films anyway, we had not seen, you know, gunfighting almost used like a martial art, which it does in a John Wick
movie. Yeah.
But the other piece of it was, you know, you took my dog, and not just a dog, my puppy. Like the one thing he had left in this world, you know, you could take the car, but you took my damn dog.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna lie, there's all cars on the table. My favorite NFL player is Michael Vick. All right, I said what I said. But still, with dogs, I'm just like, dude, Mike, okay.
Yeah,
so with this one, it absolutely was, and I totally get it. And the fact that he shut the underworld down, and you got to build the legend of the Baba Yaga. But then, I mean, again, I'm not gonna rehash my choice for my number one, but it's just a fantastic movie. And again, no one wants, and I've heard from many women, him in the black on black suit just wins, like, right. Just like, yeah. I get a black on black suit. Yeah, it me in a black on black suit looks one with Keanu in a black on black suit looks
right. We're as never gonna
should.
Win
as we're it gonna, should yeah, as right. It absolutely should. Yes,
man. Yeah, you know, and as well as the dog represented his last piece of happiness. And they took it, and he took their lives. Such a great, I love John Wick. You know, it's a good example of something that they probably had no desire to build upon. They're just, they had an idea for a movie, and then it ended up making all sorts of money. And they're like, well, let's build on this. And they've done a
good job building.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, first off, here's my two thoughts. If you can get Ian McShane in anything, you better plan on a sequel. That dude's good.
Yeah.
Like if you're not sure when you're signing paperwork, if you get that dude to go, you know what? Can we do a 3-movie deal if the money's right? And if he goes yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Deadwood, American Gods. I mean, just everything he's in. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really is the. He's not British. Is he Irish or Scott or Australia? I can't remember.
I think he's British or not British, but okay. I think he's Scott. I think it's Scottish. I think he's Scottish. Somewhere over there. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, he is totally that. There's such similarity between him and Pacino. Mm-hmm. Just that intensity that, you know, if you give him three lines and just leave him alone, he's going to kill it.
Right, right.
He's gonna care. It could be putting in your Starbucks order. Just shut the hell up.
Right.
And let my boy work.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. Yes, yes. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Great choice.
My number one, you could probably guess what it is by now. Actually, you know what? Yeah, take a guess. What do you think my number one Keanu is?
Is it Bill and Ted?
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes,
that is my number one.
Yes.
I love that movie. I'm a sucker for time travel movies. There's something cool about them. I actually watched a really good, I started watching, I had to turn it off because I just couldn't stay focused on it. Needle in a Time Sack.
Huh.
Yeah, it's and we could talk about it another time, but yeah, I mean, I'm gonna finish watching it, and then actually we'll discuss it. But it's on some
for Prime. A future one. Maybe we should do our favorite time travels. And
yes.
Okay, yeah, and if we really want to make it hard for ourselves, our favorite time travels other than Back to the Future, because I think it's too easy to lean on Back to the Future.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You get the George Carlin. R.I.P.
Which is just fantastic.
Yes. I mean, man, I just remember so many nights just pretending to be Bill and Ted. You know,
Wild Stallions!
Yes, you know, like, just, man, Ted, Theodore, Logan. I mean, man, there's just so much to that movie. I just, you know, like, I even watch Face the Music and I still belly laugh. I mean, you know, it's the dumbest movie. It's super dumb. You know, like,
sure.
And he made it for the fans. The fans wanted it, and he made it for the fans. You know,
I mean, as you should. And again, yeah. Again, that is a very so. To take a quick aside, I'm not trying to steal your time at all.
No, you're good.
If you do any reading on Keanu Reeves, the person, first off, if you get a chance, and this clip is all over YouTube, the training, the weapons training. So he went through a hell of a lot of martial arts. So mm-hmm. Really, the first thing is you don't want to mess with Keanu Reeves, the dude. Here's why. He kept up on the martial arts training from the Matrix films. He kept up on the gun training from the John Wick films. They've shown this dude's aim with an automatic weapon, and it's sick.
Yeah.
And as a veteran, you probably got a much more critical eye there, but I was like, the things he aimed at, they bloated it up. So I was just like, I think that wins. Like, if you hit the stuff you aim at in the middle, I think that means you're a good shot, right?
Right.
Like the bullseye, if you're in the middle of the middle of the middle, I think that means you're accurate. Anyway, but he really is that person that when you read stories about it as a person, he seems to be a genuinely cool, down-to-earth, as cool and down-to-earth you're going to be when you're that handsome and that rich and that talented.
Right. Given,
you know, but to make a movie for the fans.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously he got paid, right? But it is one of those things that the fans were clamoring for the movie. So let's give them the movie. You know, it took us a few years to do it, but we're going to give you what you've been wanting. Absolutely.
Yeah. And he's one of those actors that you always hear, like, he'll take a pay cut to get something done. You know, I mean, like, he doesn't live in an extravagant house, apparently.
Not even,
he takes the subway, gives
probably
up
he's in New York, all the stories when he's, you know, he takes the subway and not with, like, his entourage. It's just, hey, dude, I'm Keanu. Like, what's up? So, yeah.
Yeah, like, no. Like, do you want me to pull out my gun? I mean, I'm pretty sure the guy's concealed carry. And you don't want to.
Yeah. So with this, before we kind of close the loop on this, I have one more. I didn't throw it in my beginning honorable mention, but I have one more film that I feel is near and dear to my heart based on Keanu Reeves. And that is the one, the only movie starring Keegan-Michael Key, which and Jordan Peele, starring the cutest cat ever. And it is named Keanu.
Yes.
If you have never had a chance, Bradley, to watch Keanu, it is simply
hilarious,
amazing.
I love
it. It almost in my honorable mention, other than Keanu isn't in it. I mean, they have a voice moment, but I don't think that's Keanu Reeves. Actually, I was gonna Google it to see if that's Keanu that voices the cat when he's supposed to be Keanu Reeves. I really truthfully doubt it is.
His name is in the IMDb for it.
Is it? Well, shoot, yes. That would have worked then. So that could not go in my legit honorable mentions list.
Yeah.
But it's just a great one. So Keanu, and again, as someone who owns a cat, we both have cats in our homes. Keanu is just, number one, just incredibly cute cat. But when you look at you've got Key and Peele, you got Tiffany Haddish, you got such a great Method Man, you just got such a great cast, and it's done for really high humor. In fact, that's probably what I'm going to be watching after we close this evening. But yeah, so I just wanted to make sure we give Keanu the love, since we're doing a podcast dedicated to the one, the only, Mr. Keanu Reeves.
Awesome. All right. Well, with that, let's go right into our tats. Is it me first or is it you first?
Well, yeah, I think we typically do opposite. So I led off with the topic, so you lead off with the tat.
All right. So my tat this week is going to be a little story time with Brian and Brad. So first,
oh wow,
we need to pick some. We need to pick some characters here. All right,
I'm with you.
And all right, are you ready?
I'm ready. You are, sir.
We are. Do would you like to keep a game show announcer in our tap?
Yeah, that seems something new, so we'll definitely do it.
Okay, game show announcer, and Charlie Brown. Want to keep Charlie Brown?
Wow. Okay.
Want to keep it, or you want to do what you want to?
Oh, definitely keep it, Mr. Brown. Yes.
All right, so Charlie Brown and a game show announcer.
Okay.
This, a place that we have to end up in is going to be the Mushroom Kingdom. But we already did the Mushroom Kingdom, so let's pick something.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's switch that one up. All right.
Okay, so would you like to keep the Pentagon, or would you like to spin again?
I'm curious where our heads will go where Charlie Brown winds up at the Pentagon. So we're keeping the Pentagon.
All right, we're keeping the Pentagon. Perfect. One thing that must happen in our story is... Okay, so we've already done that one. I was taking a bathroom break at the most inopportune time. Hand gets cut off.
Okay.
Keep it, or do you want to
lose a hand? Yeah, we're going to keep that.
All right. All right. Now, one character trait that we have to work into one of the characters is going to be one of the characters has to be super dumb. Or he's like spinning.
Okay. Spin it? That one. Spin it.
All right. The character all of a sudden becomes super smart.
Okay. All right. So we're from super dumb to super smart. I think we should have kept super dumb, but all right. So all they right. become super smart though, right?
Right.
Okay.
The genre of of our story has to be a period piece. All right, let's do a period piece. All right, now that was never specific, so you get to pick the period.
The period could be today if I want to really just mess with it. Yeah.
Right. So, do you want to keep it or do you want to spin again?
Let's keep it. What the hell? Let's just have some fun.
All right. And I think we have enough for our story. We got all two characters. We have one place.
So our two characters are a game show host and Charlie Brown. They wind up at the Pentagon. At some point, a character loses a hand. At some point, a character becomes super smart. And then this has to take place. It's a period piece, so we need to determine the time frame of all this occurring. Do I follow that correctly?
Yes, you did.
All right.
Are you
well? I'll go ahead and give us our period, so we know kind of where we're landing. So
okay,
we're just gonna do this. You know, given the characters that we have, we're just gonna do this in the 80s. We're just gonna make it pretty straightforward between a game show host and one Charlie Brown. We're gonna do this in the 80s. So we're bringing back, you know, red leather jackets with way too many zippers. George Michaels will be back with us, and as always, you know, it is all about that karma.
The karma chameleon.
The karma chameleon. Yes. Absolutely. You want me to start or you want to start?
I'm good. Go ahead, sir. All right. Go ahead.
We're going to go back in the time to the
1980s. We hit that 88 miles an hour in the DeLorean. Whoosh. And we are back.
And Charlie's not old enough to drive, so I wonder who we got there. All right, so our story starts off with a typical day in the life of Charlie Brown. He wakes up 5 minutes too late for school. He misses the bus. And as he's running, he sees a billboard for going on this brand new television show called Are You Smarter Than a Fourth Grader? Where Charlie is in the fourth grade. He figures he could go on as one of the potential fourth graders. So Charlie is already late for school. He goes, forget it. They don't like him this day. He goes across town to the actual studio and signs in his name to be one of the odd people, to be one of the kids for the Are You Smarter Than a Fourth Grader. With that, he meets the host of this show, the impeccable one, Mr. Jeff Foxworthy. Because you know, when you're talking about Jeff Foxworthy, he knows that you might be a redneck. As Charlie and Jeff get to know each other before the beginning of the show, all of a sudden, there's a ring on a phone. Jeff answers the phone, and Jeff is being told that there's security from the military out front. Jeff goes to see what this is. Charlie sneaks behind them to see what's going on. So at this point, Bradley, what is Mr. Foxworthy going to learn from the military at the front door of the studio station for Are You Smarter Than a Fourth Grader?
All of a sudden, a general comes running into the door, and right along there, sitting in the lobby, is one Charlie Brown, and this full four-star general is running up and is saying that he must speak to Jeff Foxworthy because it is a matter of national security. A couple minutes pass and Jeff Foxworthy comes down, and all you can hear, first you see this amazing mustache, but all you can hear is a wah 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 wah. And Charlie Brown is just looking up in amazement, and Jeff Foxworthy looks at Charlie Brown and says wah 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 wah. The general says, all right guys, you're coming with us. And they run outside and they get in a straight up Iron Eagle helicopter straight out of the series. And Louis Gossett Jr. is piloting, and they get in and it takes off. Brian, where are they going?
As the jet takes off with Mr. Foxworthy piloting and Charlie Brown behind him, Charlie is scared out of his mind. His eyes are big as saucers. He's wondering what's going on. And again, he hears Foxworthy on the radio. Wah, 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 wah. Charlie insists, what is this language that I'm hearing? I've heard this before. At which point, Foxworthy turns around and in a very stern voice goes, you are part of our secret now. Charlie goes, what secret? He goes, we are part of an alien invasion. We are here to help the Earth move forward, to advance, to become the next great civilization. We've infiltrated your schools. We've infiltrated your families. We've infiltrated your entertainment. And we are here, and we shall not be taken lightly. And then he goes, wah-wah, 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 wah-wah. Charlie Brown goes, I just want to go home. Please take me home. To which he goes, you know too much, Charles. You know too much, Chuck. As they're flying, though, out of the rear window of the plane, Charlie begins to see this hazy movement in the back. And first, it's so far away, he can't really tell, but as it gets closer and closer, he can tell it's somehow a weirdly shaped flying vehicle. And the closer it gets, it looks like it might actually be a flying doghouse. And then he sees that it is not only Snoopy, but Woodstock as his co-pilot coming to help save Charlie Brown from the invasion of the wah-wah-wah, wah-wah-wah people. Bradley, tell us what Snoop and Woodstock are going to do.
All right, so what's going to happen here? the four-star general yells at Louis Gossett Jr. because I can't remember his character's name in Iron Eagle. It's been several decades, people. He says, we must engage. As this dog fight is going on, not only is Snoopy
with the actual dog, Woodstock,
right, is going on, all of a sudden, another plane shows up, and it is none other than the Baron.
Right.
And the Baron is there. Whose side is the Baron on? This is the question that they're going. All of a sudden, the Baron starts shooting at Snoopy and Woodstock. The Baron has been part of one of these aliens his entire life. Now Snoopy and Woodstock have to split up. Woodstock is going after Charlie. Snoopy is going after the Baron. Woodstock was able to use his cartoon ability and fly into the engines and all the way through the plane. But in doing so, he messes up the engine and they go straight down. And what do? They land, crash land in the yard of the Pentagon. All of a sudden, you hear wah wah, wah 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 wah. And Charlie gets up and says, I'm getting out of here, and starts running. And then all of a sudden, you hear a wah wah, wah wah wah. And Charlie is running out of the plane. Brian, how does this end?
As he runs out of the plane and the wah wah, wah 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 is running behind him, he looks up and coming out of the Pentagon, smoking a stogie with all of his friends behind him is the one and the only Hannibal from the A-Team. Because when the Pentagon is in trouble, when they know no one else to call, they reach out to their alphas. They reach out to their A-Team. So as Charlie is attempting to run and gain coverage, the A-Team comes out. There's Hannibal. There's Mad Dog Murdoch. There's Face. And of course, there's the one, the only, B.A. Badass Baracus. So as the A-Team give Charlie Brown cover, they begin to shoot massive amounts of fire at the wah-wah-wah, wah-wah-wah-wah people. In fact, they hit one of the individuals so hard that he loses a hand. As these individuals are brought down, you see the entirety of the best of our best military of the 80s. You have the A-Team, you have Iron Eagle, and yes, yes, there he is with a new co-pilot. Of course, it is Maverick. As they begin to do what they are here to do, let's roll, let's shut them down, they push back the invaders, and they quickly begin to leave our planet. They leave in droves, and once again, America, dare I say, America is safe again. Or is it? Because as the sun begins to set, as the credits begin to roll, we see the one dismembered hand slowly starts to move, and we realize it's not over yet. The end.
Oh, I love that, man. I'm glad you brought in A-Team. That was awesome. That was awesome.
You gotta have A-Team, and come on, you gotta have Maverick, right?
Right, right,
you
know? Absolutely.
We lost Goose, but we still got Maverick. Absolutely.
Yep. Iceman was his new wingman. So, you know.
Yes. And if it gets too tough, Iceman can always put on the suit. And so I think Val can fit in the suit now. He lost a lot of weight for the Top Gun movie.
I think so.
So, you know, he can give us Batman. He can give us Batman. And in fact, you know what? In reality, in that movie, I don't think that was actually Louis Gossett Jr. piloting. I think it may be a person he's often confused with, and that is one Samuel Jackson, where the L stands for.
Awesome, awesome. All right, I'll be up there in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, okay? Yes, man, I cannot. You know what? Iron Eagle needs to come back. I think now is the time.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you could do the story. I mean, the sequels kind of went a little far adrift, but the original where, you know, hey, You know, his dad's caught behind enemy lines. You know, you've got Louis Gossett Jr. I still remember in the one, and if you have not seen Iron Eagle, definitely go watch the original. You can maybe skip the sequels, but the original is fantastic. Where Gossett is actually, you know, shot down, and then you hear him talking to, and I want to say Jason Gedrick played the kid, but that's probably wrong. I don't remember. I just remember in the 80s, Jason Gedrick had a career. But as he's talking to him about, hey, you're flying that Iron Eagle, that monologue was powerful. It almost made me, I mean, seriously, I thought, I want to join up. It just was very cool. So I would love to see a return of Iron Eagle. By the way, if you've seen the A-Team movie with Liam Neeson, they're actually on, I think Amazon still has it. They've got the unrated director's cut, which is about 10 minutes longer. Well, nice. That's a little bit more than that. But the cool thing about it, too, is it brings up extra stuff, especially they bring in a lot of scenes with Murdoch, which were cut, which actually I just think makes this, again, I love the extended version of Hancock and the extended version of 18 that Amazon has had on the last few weeks. So awesome. I know you want to be conscious of bedtime, so are you ready for my riddle of the week?
I am. Let's hear it.
All right. Let's see if we got it. And as always, for anyone who is not familiar with the rules of the Riddle of the Week, I will read the riddle as many times to Bradley as he would like. He is allowed to ask three questions, and he is allowed to take three guesses. So with that being said, here we go. By the way, I will say this. This is, to be fair, this is a actor, not a character. Okay. So I want you to tell me who the person is, okay?
Okay.
I've lived on the outside, mastered Utah, and driven across country. I know what it's like to be too small, too tall, and I've even been to the other side. I've been a castle, a queen, and a president. And at the end of the day, like the man on the radio said, James Brown is dead. I'm proud of this one. I wonder if you'll get it. I'm very proud of this one. Again, I'll repeat as many times as you want, sir.
All right. I'm going to give a guess.
Okay.
Patrick Swayze.
Boom! First time! Yes! Yes. I bet I know what gave it away, because I hoped it would give it away, actually. But what gave it away? What sells it for you?
Two things, actually. Outsiders and Utah.
There it is. So also, if you didn't catch it, the end of it where it says, the man on the radio said, James Brown is dead. There's actually a song called James Brown by a group called Swayze.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Awesome. Yes. So I lived on the outside, the Outsiders, Master Utah, Point Break, driven across country. That was a Tu Wong Fu reference. Those like to be too small.
Oh, my God. I love that movie.
Yes. I forgot about that movie. I know it's like to be too small, Roadhouse. I thought you'd be bigger.
Yep.
Too tall. Again, in Tu Wong Fu, they remark how tall he is. Then I've been to the other side, Ghost. And then I've been a castle. In Dirty Dancing, his character's name is Johnny Castle. He's been a queen, drag queen in Tu Wong Fu, and been a president. Again, another Point Break reference with the mask. And then again, at the end of the day, like the man on the radio said, James Brown is dead. The song James Brown by the group, which is really two guys with that two people, I guess, across the group, known as Swayze.
Very cool. I do believe that is my third one in a row.
That is just that you're rounding into shape now. You've got a row going. So I got to work hard for next week. But I love that you get these, because I work. I'm not going to say I spend 12 hours on them, but I put in some effort on these. And I think you figured out my rhythms. I may have to change up my style a little bit. But yes. So yes, for those of you that's heard that, yes, it is Patrick Swayze is the answer for this week's riddle of the week.
Awesome. All right. So if you find our value, if you found the content that we're producing Consider, I can't talk today. If you find value in the content that we are producing, please consider supporting the show. Maybe you'll be the guest host, next guest host of the Fandemic. How can you support the show? Well, there's a couple ways. You can go to patreon.com. Make sure you let us know that you're here because of Prevenge of the Nerds. Also, you can go straight to our page right on Anchor at anchor.fm/PVOTN. All right, guys. Brian, how can we find you?
As always, you can look me up on Facebook, Brian Steven Dennis. And again, feel free to like, give me a follow, give me a friend request. Love just chatting it up with folks. So that's it. Not big on Twitter, but definitely Facebook, because I'm an old man. Feel free to reach out to me that way.
Me, as am I. You can tweet at me at Fandemic3. However, I'm not very good at getting back. But message me on Facebook. You'll have a little bit better of luck. All right, Brian, let's go ahead and close this all up. Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesomeness. Live free or die empty. Have a great day.